We continue our series on demons and their domain and of darkness. And my prayer is that you have already seen that there is a presence of demons. This whole system, really, within it, a demonic presence, a presence of Satan. And what our study has shown us is that this presence of demons is in a vast array of context and involvements, activities, influence. They affect the world of humanity, the entire world. And when I say the entire world, I include us. We live in the presence of demons every day. It's not just across the globe, but it's in Norman. Some of the things that we've seen is that they are heavily involved in governments. So just think, if you were Satan and you were the god of this world and this was your place, your domain to operate, wouldn't you pick the most powerful entities in the world to influence? And that is governments. So every government, I believe, every one of them, there are demons active in those governments. Now remember, we saw in our angel study that angels are also involved. So because I say that they're demoniacal, there are demons involved and the nature of it is demonic, it doesn't mean that there aren't angels fighting. We've seen that. They are. And it isn't calling for us to be less involved or pessimistic. We should be more involved. Because we're the ones that understand what's going on. We're understanding it's not just human power. It's not just the decisions of man. Many of them are being guided or influenced and maybe even possessed. So when I say government, that calls on people who know God to be more involved in, if it's a country you can vote in or influence in any way or influence an individual, and prayer. We're the only ones that can do that. If I were just looking at it, I could be wrong, so this is a guess, but I would guess that they would be more heavily involved in the United States than other countries. And that is because we all know, humanly speaking, if the United States were to fall, you would lose the free world. The United States and Great Britain are the two stalwarts there, the bulkheads. Great Britain has lost much of its Christianity, as all of Europe has. America has too, and parts of our country, there's just really no Christianity. There's the vestiges. So if you were Satan wanting to get control because they need centralized government, and Satan doesn't want just control of one government but all of them, and if you were wanting to do that, the one standing in your way is the one you have to get. But I think they're in all governments, but I think United States and Britain would make the greatest sense. Because you have all the communists, you have the socialists, and the others are on their way down, and once you start down, it's kind of a cycle. Unless something drastically turns it around, like a great awakening. They're involved in humans, just individuals. And that can be through possession, which we're going to be looking more at, but it can be done by just influence or putting things before you that tempt you. It doesn't take long to watch somebody and find out where their weaknesses are and then pose those things before them. Lead somebody to tempt them in that way. Put them in their path. And so I believe as individuals we should understand, yeah, we're dealing with fallen people, but there are demons everywhere. Now look, I'm not talking about go look for a demon in every bush. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about their presence and their involvement. This is Satan's kingdom. Wouldn't we expect that? To expect that you will not encounter some kind of demon influence tomorrow, to me, would be naive if this is his kingdom and he's the God of this world. He's involved in human relationships. So we've seen that, like the marrying and the different groups of powerful people relating to one another. So he works in individuals, but he works in relationships too, to bring these together for his purposes, or to divide these for his purposes. And particularly would he do this in families. I mean, just divide and destroy the family. We know this is the plan. You can only do so much till you absolutely destroy the family. And then that gives you the freedom to do whatever else you want. And that's why there's such an attack on it. It's like we see things and we see them from a Christian worldview, not thinking of Satan and what he's about. And like, for example, the very idea of sexualizing 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, not only is it gross, but it is, to us, incomprehensible. Why do they even want to do that? Well, I'll answer it. What we call that time, age of innocence, the time of innocence, they hate it. They're seeking to destroy that. This is an intentional assault to destroy that. So that's why they start with 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, because they hate the age of innocence. Any kind of innocence, but particularly even there, they want to do away with that. So relationships. They take opportunity, demons do, to attack us personally when we give them an opportunity and we leave a door open into our life, into our family, into our affairs. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And the context there is anger and sin that's unconfessed. So there's a protection around us when we walk with God. But when we walk in unconfessed sin, we've just created a breach in our life. And remember, it's not just individually, but it's the relationships that we're involved in. So if we're married and we have children and we're walking in unconfessed sin and we're depending on our own power, we've opened the door to Satan to come into our life and do things in our life, but every relationship we're involved in, we've given an avenue. Whether it's our children, our marriage, relatives, people we're witnessing to, and on it goes. So he wants the whole thing. And when we walk with God and we put on the armor of God and we understand the demonic world like we've tried to grow in our understanding of that, when we can sense that, we're an enemy. They have to breach our defenses to get to us, but to get to us is to get to other people that are closest to us. We mentioned the occult, and the occult, in America, at least, generally speaking, at least in our region of the country I can speak about, it was a distant thing. It existed. We knew it. We could read about it. But it was a distant thing. And we saw that Saul got involved in the occult, occultic things. And then I took you through the Old Testament, New Testament, showed you without exception, God denounces it in the severest terms and judges it. And so now you can look at your astrological chart in, I guess, it used to be the newspaper, now magazines, online, whatever you want. You can get involved in it through games like Ouija boards and all of this, but once you dabble in it, you've opened the door to Satan into your life in a way that he did not have before that period. And if he wants in your life, he wants in the life of the people you're related to, your spouse and your children, and on it goes. So again, it's not just about you or me, it's about us. And the same thing happens in churches. When I hear of certain church splits and so forth, and usually I am hearing about them, and I don't have to know all the details. I know what happened. I can tell you what happened. The names are different, but the events are the same. Why is that? Why is that? Because there's one behind it orchestrating these things. I'm talking about when it's a church split that's not overstanding for truth. But you know, they don't like this or that. They don't like the carpet you put in the building, and they lead a group of people to fight against it and things of that nature. It's just demonic. So they want to corrupt the whole society. They're involved in the whole society. I don't think there's an aspect anywhere. But you would just go to the more powerful places. So remember the two things I've given you over and over, even in our study of Satan. So I keep repeating these, and prayerfully by doing it, it kind of sticks. The two things that Satan sought was an independent existence from God. He could exist without God. He wasn't dependent on God. And the second thing was, Godhood is achievable. He could become like the Most High God. So we saw that when we studied the fall. Remember that many demons gathered with him in that. Well, anytime you're looking around you and you're seeing an area of people or industry or government, whatever it is, and they seek to live independent of God, that's of Satan. That's what he does. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. That is exactly what he does. And that Godhood is achievable, meaning that you can save yourself or your own salvation. You can take care of it. That's what he does. So those are the two things, if you look for them. Remember when we studied the flood, they could create their own race. Therefore, they could create their own gods and have infinite life. And they could stand on their own. They didn't need God. That is demonic. Now, when we say it's demonical, demonic in this sense, we're not saying everybody's demon-possessed. We're saying the demons are working in it. And that's basically true everywhere. So fallen man's working in it, is using them, trying to use Christians, attacking us. But demoniacal means it's characterized by demons. And when I say demonic, I'm saying the same things. The sixth thing we learned was God really grieves over the demonic sinful activity of his creation. And we saw that in the Old Testament in some places, and we see it in the New Testament. But it's particularly true when it's of his people, that it grieves God. And so we are commanded, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then the seventh thing that we saw is what God is willing to do to fulfill his plan. He destroyed the entire creation, really. For all practical purposes, everything was destroyed except eight people. God is not going to be defeated. And so it just reminds us what God will do to fulfill his plan that is outlined for us in the scripture. I would remind you also that when we talk about these things, we're talking about demon. So again, demonic or demoniacal, demoniacal more of being characterized by demons. So it can be fallen, lost people leading, atheist, and so forth. But it is demons involved. It doesn't mean everybody's demon-possessed, though there may some be. So that I want to make a distinction, because I'm not trying to say there's a demon over here and a demon over here. I think they're everywhere. So I think when we meet, this worship center is full of angels and full of demons, period. And they're awaiting the outcome and trying to influence us. So they're in businesses, they're in entertainment, they're even in the spreading of entertainment so that it becomes such a god that we would sacrifice everything for entertainment. Nothing wrong with it, but we have to be careful. They're involved in cultural values and stating cultural values, setting cultural values, influencing cultural values, because that influences culture, which is people. So why is it harder to rear a child today than it was in the day that we reared our children? Why is that? Well, it was hard, but culture has changed dramatically, and you are facing things that nobody even talked about. So you change culture and you change everything. And that's what demons do. Healthcare. Why wouldn't you get involved in healthcare? And I'm speaking most specifically about mental health care. I mean, if you were demonic and Satan wanting to rule everything, why wouldn't you get involved in that? Because psychology and stuff influences politics, law, education, everything. I wrote an entire book showing how the church has adopted the language of progressivism, which is this very thing. So the church, in many ways, has adopted this language that actually destroys the church. I mean, he's crafty. So we'll talk more about that, and that's where it gets personal. So we're making a distinction between demon possession and demonic warfare. So most of the time we're here, you know, a demon can influence you, they can harass you, so forth, and then we have demon possession. But I pray that we filled in the gap, that their influence and their power and what they're working at 24/7 is just all over everything. But there are those that are demon-possessed. When you are demon-possessed, the demon comes inside of you and takes full control of your body, your mental faculties, your will, your vocal cords, everything. So that when we look at this, you'll see that neither Jesus nor the apostles ever spoke to the demon-possessed person, but always to the demon. And that's a distinction, because when it's demon influence or demon harassment or someone trying to follow after a demon, they will address the person because he still has control of his will. And I would just say, do not limit demonic activity. And I pray by this time you know I'm not a sensationalist and all of these things, but I'm just telling you, when you study what we've studied, they're involved in everything. Everything that they can get into. And if they get into one person, then all the people that are involved with, they'll try to be involved with that, whatever business it is, whatever government it is, and on and on and on. So what we're going to be looking at is, I'm not there yet, but I'm just trying to get you there, is the world of psychology, psychiatry, and counseling. And I'll probably say this again, but if you go to the medical doctor, let's just say you broke your leg, and you go to the medical doctor, yeah, that leg's broke all right. It's not a secret. Or if you chopped your finger off and it's bleeding and you go in, they go, well, I don't know. We need to see how this person feels, whether that's a cut-off finger. They know it. It's objective evidence. When we deal with psychology, counseling, and psychiatry, and I'm going to use each of those as kind of a synecdoche. If I say one of them, I'm thinking about all of them, however they apply. But they do have differences. Psychiatry basically is treating you with medicine. With, you know, they're a doctor, a medical doctor. And psychology and counseling is treating you through different counseling theories. So that's the basic idea of the difference there. But if I use one of them, I'm just talking about all of them, because what they have in common is they deal with the mind. The mind. Not the brain. Well, they can deal with the brain. Psychiatrists and others are aware of all of the phenomena there. But I'm talking about not like remapping and so forth. That can be done. That's a physical thing. But I'm talking about what you think about this and why you think that. And is that good? Well, maybe your trouble is just because of the way you're thinking. And it may be. But if they don't like what you think, they'll blame it on that, see? And so just to set the record, if you go into many of the major counseling, you go to get counseling and you go into the major theories and you have religious devotion, many of them, if not all, but many of them will show you having a disorder. Something's wrong with you. So I hope you see me, hear me. If you are a Christian and you go in, because most of these theories, they would say there's 100, but there's 8 or 10 at the top, you know, that you just talk about. But all the ones that I studied in graduate school and all the ones since, they are developed by atheists and humanists and so forth. And so it's not that there's not some good in it, but you have to understand the worldview they're going to be coming from is totally different than ours. So if you go in, like if you were going into rational emotive therapy and you had a religious conviction or religious convictions, it would determine that you have a mental disorder. And that's not the only one. So I'm just trying to give you this why. You'll see the demonic nature of all of this. Doesn't mean everybody's a demon. Doesn't mean there aren't good counselors, psychiatrists, or psychologists. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean they don't have value. I'm trying to warn of this thing that we're seeing that is very personal and up close to us. I think I mentioned in a conversation, may have been to Max, but somebody the other day. But long ago, I learned from Francis Schaeffer. And what he warned about was, and particularly in the West, that we preach and we teach the Bible and we have Bible studies and we have two parallel lines. Now, they don't intersect. They're parallel. One of them is we're teaching the Bible, we're learning the Bible, we know more about the Bible, but it doesn't intersect with our life in the world. How we view law or penology, our government, our medicine, our psychiatry, or whatever it is. So it's two parallel lines. We go to church, we learn the Bible, we go over here, and we go to work. We may have, you know, a Christian viewpoint and stuff, but it doesn't influence anything. And that's a danger, that there's two parallel lines. We ought to be learning the Bible and understanding how that intersects with the world so that when we go into the world, we can take the Bible into the world. And we can protect ourselves and our family. Some psychological disorders are clearly from the effects of the fall. Because like our body is affected from the fall, everything was affected from the fall. And so our bodies are affected, and so they get sick, and they eventually die and have problems, and all of us know that well. Well, it affected the brain, and so that it affected how we think and how we look and can we think and how well can we think. And so some psychological disorders or syndromes can be because of the effects of the fall on the brain. So that we're not thinking right, we don't function right. Our brain, you know, instead of working at a higher percentage, it works at a lower percentage. And so we have disabilities in learning and disabilities in understanding, and some are at a different cognitive level than they should be. So those things happen because of the fall. And in that realm, counseling, psychology, and psychiatry can be helpful if you're connected with the right ones. So there is a place for that. Just like, let me give you another distinction, because I'm going to really hammer on the failure in these areas that we have to watch for. But it's like a cosmetic surgery. So sometimes when you say cosmetic surgery, people go, yeah, but really, cosmetic surgery is a wonderful thing. And my understanding was kind of the genesaical background of that is military men being shot up, and they come back and they help them to look a little better and so forth. But there are many good things. You know that if you go in and they have to do some kind of reconstruction somewhere, well, it's that person who comes in and really helps that look like hopefully there hasn't been reconstruction. So it's good, but it has a downside as well. And it can create almost an artificial person. So it's the same way with this. There is a place for the broad umbrella of psychology that we Christians can utilize because it affected the brain. So now medicine's very specialized. We go to a foot doctor, a heart doctor, brain and skin, because we know so much that one person just can't do it all and even keep up with all of it. So even different diseases and so forth. And that we should be thankful for, and we benefit from in the United States. So we have something happen to us. And that evening we go to the doctor and go to the hospital and we get treated with the best care you can get in the world. And we need to be very thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that the brain or the mind, how you think, what your assumptions are, what your values are, that's not just the brain, that's the mind. And so that's what psychology and stuff deals with, is the soul and the mind. Psychology or psychiatry is the study of the soul, by the way. That's where that psychos is where that comes from. So the brain, you know, they study the physical brain, and they can map it, and this part does this, and this part does this, and they can do all kinds of things and learning more and more and more. But the mind, when I say that, I'm talking about the soul and the brain in concert. And that's what they deal with primarily, is your values. This, how does this value make you think, and so forth? And they have presuppositions and assumptions, and I'll show you those things as well. But it could be, and I think it is, that some are the result of demon possession. Telling the difference in those that are the result of the fall and those that are the result of the demon possession, I'm going to say that I don't know that you can always be, or even most of the time, be 100% sure. Because the fall so horribly affected everything. But I do think sometimes, like schizophrenia, multiple personalities and things like that, seem to fit more the biblical framework of demonism. And let me just say a word about the demons. They come as an angel. Satan comes as an angel of light. Do you think demons do the same thing? Yes. So you know that they can go in a tribe in Africa and act any way they want. But they can't do that in a civilized country. And so, if you will, they put on their suit and they learn proper English and they integrate. So they will work within the system that's there to influence it. And sometimes schizophrenia and things like that become such broad terms. And I had an experience where this person was supposed to have multiple personalities and so forth. And I've had this happen more than once, but and I'm not saying there aren't some that have some brain dysfunction that, like that. What I'm saying is sometimes there's something that comes out, and then all of a sudden it becomes all the rage, almost. And everybody's got, well, it's multiple personality. And so I told Gina after we had a session and so forth, and I told Gina, I said, I don't believe it's that at all. I believe it's sin. I said, because what multiple personalities can do for you is allow you to be the mean person you really are and it be excused. And then you can flip over here and you're the other person. And that's what came out of all this. And that can be inherited by generation, not biologically, but functionally. So yes, there can be, but they're not all that. And that's what psychiatry and the other terms, they deal with things, some of them are called sin in the Bible. And then they end up calling them a disorder. Well, if it's a disorder, you don't need a savior. You need an orderer. But if it's sin, you need a savior. So what they have is a complete infrastructure with all the terms, all the definitions, all the cures that go with that. And then over here is the Bible, and you have it with its infrastructure, and you have the problems, and you have the cures. But they're not the same. And when they try to integrate them, the biblical always becomes immersed and subservient to the other. I've never seen it the other way around. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I've not witnessed it. So some of the result of demon possession, but again, to say this is or isn't is hard to say. You say, well, how do we handle it? Here's one thing you better do. You better pray like you realize there's a demonic world that can do things and fool medical people and make the world think it's just a sickness or just this or that, but it's really a demon. And we're the only ones that can see that. So it doesn't mean every case is demon. It means that some are. And I always say this, and it's kind of reductionistic, but if an aspirin will heal you, it's not a demon. If you have a headache and you can take two bears, I'm just telling you, it wasn't a demon. Well, the same way is if you have something and you can take some medicine or go get the leg fixed or whatever it is, that's not really the characteristic of demon activity. I'll tell you what is. People who have psychiatric issues. Now, I'm not talking about the brain being dysfunctioning or counseling issues. They're 65 years old, and they never were really able to quit being a griping, depressed person because of what happened to them in childhood. That doesn't mean they have a demon, but that's demonic. The problem's not what happened to them in childhood, it's them. If you're still looking back 50 years after the event and that's still controlling your life, that's your choice. Look, life's hard. And now we got all these safe spaces where you can't say this. And then, well, yeah, my child has to be over here because. Tell them life's hard. Get over some of this stuff. Why is it that two people go through the same thing 40 years ago, and one of them, they still hurt, they haven't forgotten it, but they've moved on and they're productive and living for God, and the other one's still talking about this problem? Why is that? That's a choice. So it's interesting. Well, I got to stop. But it's not interesting. It can wait. Okay, so let me pray and then we'll stop. Lord, we thank you for your word, and God, we just want to be, we don't want to be overly estimating what's demoniacal, and yet, Lord, we want to be able to see it for what it is. And we can detect many times when someone is a sinner, not living for you because of the fruit. In the same way, Lord, may we be able to have a better understanding of how demons are playing and working in our culture, and in our culture that wants to control our minds through demonic activity and through false philosophies. So we love you. We ask these things, and may we be liberated and help to liberate others. We ask it in Christ's name.